Well, I've got some good friends down in Mount Airy, North Carolina. As soon as this thing broadcasted, they're going to be listening. So I want to say hello to Jen and Daniel down in Mount Airy at Brother Sellers Church. Amen. Boy, wasn't that good preaching? Ah, Lord. Nothing left but the maps. I preached everything. Done preached everything tonight. I liked it. He told me, he said, "Well, Paulette, I'm going to just preach 15 minutes. I said, "Wonderful. I'll have plenty of time. 8:45 right now. 8:45 right here. But it was great, wasn't it? Thank you, Brother Carl, for preaching. First time I met Brother Carl, he was in Providence Baptist Church in Norfolk, Virginia, in the U.S. Navy. And I got to preach to him. And it's been my privilege to know him. His church supports me monthly. So I'm a missionary evangelist. And I need some help, too. Ooh, what is that? Woo! I saw the Pastor Cole bringing that cup in there, too. If you want to know what's in it, you come up after church and take a sip of it. Here's a clock. Genesis chapter 37. I'm mighty grateful for all the good preaching we've had today. I'm telling you, it's been magnificent, right from the word go. Brother Seymour showed out, and Brother Smith showed out, and Carl just jumped it off of the top too, didn't he? I like it. I need preaching. I don't need a lot of things, but I need good preaching. Preaching what helps us. Preaching gets you saved. Then if you pay attention, keep preaching to keep you right with God. If you get away from preaching, you'll get cold and indifferent, and you'll amount to nothing. But if you listen to old-fashioned preaching and do what the Holy Ghost says when he's preaching it to you, you can get some help. Amen. Genesis 37, would you stand with me, please? Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of an old age. He made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves round about made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Our fathers, we bow tonight to thank you again for the great privilege that you've given to us to open the blessed word of God and ask you to add your blessings to the reading of it. And Lord, we pray for a little while for that divine power, that unction, that touch of God in preaching that only you can give. Lord, you know without you we can do nothing. So Lord, we ask you to move in our midst tonight. Thank you for what you've already done. But Lord, I pray tonight, God, that a real move of the Holy Ghost might be in this place. Send an old-time revival camp meeting. Lord, we'll certainly thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought about, they said this is an old-fashioned southern camp meeting up north in the wintertime. Part of that is right. It's up north in the wintertime. Amen. But I want to look tonight in Genesis chapter 37. And by the way, if you study the life of Joseph, Joseph's life is one of the clearest of all the types of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that Joseph's life, when I thought about him, he was his father's beloved son. Jesus was the son of, he was the beloved son of the father. Joseph, you think about Joseph, he was hated and rejected by his brethren, and they planned to kill him. Jesus was hated, and they hung him on a whole rugged cross for sinners. Amen. Hey, Joseph saved his people from Egypt, but Jesus saved the whole world. Joseph was a ruler and exalted his brethren. Jesus one day will rule the whole world and make Israel a chief nation. So I want to talk about Joseph a little bit tonight. If you'll notice something in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph had a coat. He said it's of many colors. So I want to preach on losing a coat and gaining a crown. Joseph's life was marked by coats. Joseph had two coats in his lifetime, and he lost them both. You know, it's hard to lose the precious things of life sometimes. But you know, always losing is not losing. Sometimes losing is really winning. And Joseph's life was marked by losing both of his coats. When you stop and think about this, look back with me in verse number 23. You see the coat, Joseph's coat, when you read about the coat, it speaks of beauty. When I thought about the beauty of the coat, do you know what makes us beautiful? In the robe of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're robed in his clothing, then that makes us beautiful. When, hey, his coat speaks of joy. You know what makes us joyful? Him, amen. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness comes from things happening. Somebody in here tonight can make somebody happy, but joy coming from the Lord. Joy coming from the Holy Ghost. And his coat speaks of joy. His coat speaks of warmth. Aren't you glad tonight we're not cold? Now, Rebecca, I told you what you had to do if you were going to interpret for me. You've got to get up and walk around. You've got to shake your arms, and you've got to do all this. If you're going to be a preacher now, you've got to do this. You can't just sit down there. Don't be no lazy preacher. You get up here with me, amen? But, whoa, wait a minute. When we talk about the warmth of the Lord, aren't you glad tonight that he's heated us up for him? When you look at those coats, it speaks of security. Lord, I'm glad I'm wrapped up in him and he's wrapped up in me. I'm glad I know him, aren't you? But greater than that, I'm glad he knows me. I'm glad I belong to him. So in verse 23, if you look with me, I want to talk to you a minute and I'll be brief. We've got a long way to go too. We got to go back to the Philippines almost. I want to talk to you about losing a coat. In verse 23, it said, it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. Now, if you write in your Bible or mark in your Bible, circle that little word, strip. They stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors. But look what they done to that coat when they stripped him out of it. In verse 31, the Bible said they took Joseph's coat and kill a kid of goats, and dip the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, this hell we found. Isn't that some kind of conniving? Isn't that some, but wait a minute, Israel, Jacob, his Israel previous name was Jacob. Jacob is known as the conniving one, the serpent planter, but now look what his boys are doing. They brought that coat back to him and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." Notice, and he knew it, talking about Israel, Jacob, he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat." An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without rent in pieces. I thought about his first coat. First coat of many colors. This was a very special coat to Joseph. This coat was long length and long sleeved. I'm telling you, when you stop and think about that coat, you know what the Lord does? He doesn't save us halfway. He saves us all the way. He doesn't save us down to the knees or up to the shoulder. He saves us all the way. All the way from my crown to head to the tip of my toes. Amen. I'm glad he does that, aren't you? I said Joseph coat, he lost both coats. Notice losing his coat. I want to say, first of all, he lost his first coat by conspiracy. They stripped him of his coat. Now that first coat was a coat of, it was a gift. His father gave it to him. Do you know something tonight? Joseph didn't do anything to deserve that coat. It was a gift. Hey, it was given to him by his father. Aren't you glad? Thank God for the good gift of God. Oh, that coat was not only a gift, but it was by grace from his father. Joseph didn't deserve it. You and I don't deserve what God's done for us. I'm glad tonight you can't buy salvation. You can't earn anything from God. You must trust your way. You must believe, amen? And everything we have tonight is a gift and by grace. Amen. I got to listen to Brother Carl talking about his praying mama. Boy, it reminded me back when after I got saved, I was preaching down in Macon, Georgia. For Brother, oh Lord, what did you say about remembering? Oh, you forgot too, amen. But I was preaching for this old preacher. And he said to me one night, "I got a book I want to bring you tomorrow." I said, "Okay." And he brought me a book, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, "I wanted you to have this book, Brother Pollard. Your daddy gave me this book." He said, "We used to get in West Macon Baptist Church down in Macon, Georgia. Your dad and I would get in that room and call your name out to God for God to save you." Lord, I'm telling you tonight, everything I got is by grace. Everything I have tonight was a gift from God. I don't have anything that wasn't a gift and wasn't by grace. Joseph lost his first coat by conspiracy. They stripped him of his coat. May I tell you tonight, there's going to be some things in life that you'll lose by stripping. There's going to be some things taken from you that you have no control over. There's absolutely not anything you can do. All Joseph did was to dream a dream, and he said, "My sheep arose, and your sheaves also, and my sheep arose above yours, and yours paid obeisance to me." And they said, "What do you mean? You're going to have dominion over us?" That's all he did was dream a dream that God gave him. See, back then, God used dreams to get his will done. In this day and time, God doesn't use dreams. If you dreamed about the Lord, something's wrong with you. Too many onions and green peppers on your pizza. Because the Bible said, "Adulterous generation seeketh the sign." We're not sign seekers. We're a person seeker. And Joseph, all he did was dream. And they hated him yet the more for his dream. And so they stripped him of that coat. When his dad sent him out to check on his brethren, when they saw him coming, you remember what they said? "Behold, the dreamer cometh." He was marked by that dream. And they took him and put him down in a pit. They stripped him of that coat and then killed the kid of goats and gifted in the blood and sent it back to his daddy. I can see that coat. I can see the first time that Israel called Joseph in to give him that coat, can't you? Oh, he presented that coat to Joseph. He was proud. I'm telling you, buddy, it was a coat. It was a coat that he was proud to be given to him. Amen. I can see Israel, the dad. He was so glad in that coat, see his son in that coat. I remember when I got saved, my old dad, he put up with me so many times with so much trouble. When I got saved, I just imagined, he said, hallelujah, he won't get in any more trouble. Amen. But I can see Joseph here. Hey, here he was, that first coat, when his father gave him to it. He saw the best. He was thrilled and proud to see him in that coat. But now when they bring that coat back dipped in blood, he saw the worst. My son, the one with whom I love the most, is dead. No doubt dead. An evil beast hath devoured him. That's what the Bible said. Oh, my. Genesis 37:33 said, and he knew it, and he said, it's my son's coat. Now, listen to me about something. Now, here Israel was. When they brought that coat back to him and told him, we don't know whose coat it is, and Joseph, hey, Israel knew that it was Joseph's coat. Yes, he did. Did you notice something? Where sometimes you and I get in trouble when things like this happen to us, we demand to understand. Do not demand to understand in situations. God has the right to do whatever he wants to do to whomever he wishes to do it to. I tell you, God has that right. Sometimes we demand that God give us an explanation, but God owes us no explanation. You know, hey, sometimes when something's stripped of you, don't call out, why me, Lord? Hey, God has a way of knowing and doing what he wants done. Little did Joseph know that day when they cast him in that pit and then took him out and sold him to the Ishmaelites to be a slavery down in Egypt. Little did Joseph know God was going to use him mightily. Oh, he knew he was stripped of that coat. Oh, he knew he was sold into slavery. Oh, he knew everything that was happening to him. I'm telling you, God knew what was going to happen. You remember everything that went on? Joseph was magnifying God through it all. He's a perfect type of Christ. I said Joseph lost his first coat by conspiracy. But notice the second thing. Joseph lost his second coat by choice. Look with me in Genesis chapter 39. And by the way, what did Joseph's coat reveal? In Genesis 39 and verse 7, it said, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I'll tell you what it revealed. It revealed a forceful temptation. Now listen to me. You and I may not be tempted like that, but I'll promise you something. If you're saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, the devil will bring some kind of forceful temptation down your path. God never tempts with evil. The devil does. And I'll promise you, if you're living for God, the old devil, he hadn't quit. He hadn't stopped lying. And he's still at the job trying to deceive the children of God. And I'll promise you, there'll be a forceful temptation come down your path. You got to do what Joseph did. See what Joseph did? Joseph just stayed with the Lord. It revealed a forceful temptation. Look down here with me in verse number 12. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. Man, that's a forceful temptation, isn't it? She grabbed him. You got to remember where he's at. You've got to remember what happened. You've got to remember who it is that grabbed him by the arm and he left his coat in her hand. You've got to remember what is happening. But wait a minute. Hey, we're going to be tempted sometimes, but we better run out of our coat. I can name people half of the night tonight that did not run from the temptation. Notice with me, if you would, not only did it reveal a forceful temptation, but it revealed a false testimony. She lied on Joseph. She said in verse 18 of chapter 39, and it came to pass, I lift up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. She had the goods on him. She had his coat in her hand. I mean, she had the evidence. But it was a lie. She was lying on Joseph. You know what I like about this? You never see Joseph having the money grubs about it. You never see Joseph belly aching about it. You never see Joseph doing those things. She had the goods on him. You know something tonight? You can't stop what people may say about you and what they and who says it. There's nothing you can do about it. But the God of heaven knows. And here she was, Pharaoh's wife, down in the master's house with a coat in her hand, crying out, this Hebrew, I got him. He left his coat in my house. Man, who wouldn't believe that? Notice what happened. It revealed a full truth. If Joseph took coat could talk, and it did to the Lord, what would it reveal? I believe it revealed two things. Look with me in verse 8 of chapter 39. It revealed that Joseph refused her. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. So Joseph refused her. Man, I'm telling you something tonight. Joseph walked out of that house. He refused her. He ran out of the house. What did it reveal? It revealed Joseph retreated from her. Do you know what that's trying to tell you and me tonight who's saved by the grace of God? You better run from sin. You better run from the appearance of sin. You better get away from it. It'll do you damage. It'll destroy your testimony and your walk for God. Notice what he said in verse 12. He caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in hand and fled and got out. Only witness of what really went on was the Lord and Joseph's coat. So, hey, Joseph that day, Joseph could have walked out of that house that day with his coat draped over his arm. Joseph could have walked out of there and nobody would have known anything but him, the master's wife, and the Lord. Y'all listening? But Joseph retreated from him. He lost his coat. Remember, he'd already lost one by stripping. Sometimes God has to strip us. Sometimes God gives us an opportunity to, by choice, leave the coat. And when you decide not to, by choice, to give your coat up, then sometimes God has to take measures and bring things, locusts and swarms of flies and everything down your way to strip you of your coat. The God of heaven knows how. You know what God knows tonight? He knows the most important thing in your life. And he knows how to strip you of it. Joseph could have walked out, could have satisfied his master's wife, and left with his coat in his hand, but he would have left God out of his life. Notice, I talked about Joseph losing a coat, but by him losing a coat, he gained a crown. You said, what was the crown that Joseph gained? Look down here in chapter 39 again, verse 2. What was the coat? Verse 2, it said, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 21 said, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Look in verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Oh my, just because Joseph chose that day to not to walk out with his coat over his arm, but to leave the coat in the master's wife's hand, the Lord was with him. What kind of crown did he gain? He gained the Lord's presence. He got him ready to go to jail. He got the innkeeper all appeased and satisfied. The keeper of the prison didn't look under his hand. And if you ever been in jail, you know they strip you and search you. Am I the only one that knows that in this building? Well, some of you look like you ought to have been there. But hey, he'd have left out that day with his coat draped over his arm. He'd have left God's presence. He'd have not had that crown of God's presence. I heard tonight the most important thing in our life is the presence of Almighty God. Do you know you and I could do without 3-car garages? You and I could do without a lot of things that we have, but you and I cannot do without the presence of Almighty God. If you and I didn't have the presence of Almighty God, there's no telling where we'd be tonight. But thank God, by coming out of the coat, you can gain a crown. You gain the Lord's presence. I like where he's at, don't you? I said it's better to lose a coat and gain a crown. What kind of crown did he gain? Number two, he gained the Lord's protection. Look down in verse 20 of chapter 39. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The mercy of the Lord was Joseph's crown that he gained. Amen. The mercy of the Lord was his protection. I thought about those three Hebrew boys. They refused to bow down and worship a false god. They refused to bow at the sound of the music. They made up their mind they was not going to yield to the temptation. And you know what happened to them? God protected them. When that king said heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been made to be heated, heat it up and cast them in there. Thank God there was already one in the fire. I heard an old black preacher one time saying, you know why the Lord was in the fire? Said he was just hanging around in there now, waiting for you and me to get in there. Amen. But I've not seen anybody since then get thrown in the furnace of fire. Literal fire. But whoa, the Lord's protection is worth all of it. Did you know what happened to Daniel in the den of lions? The Lord's protection was there. I know what the modern theological cemeteries are teaching. They're teaching that they've been fed to the full and they weren't hungry. You could get in there and wouldn't have to worry about them. They'd be satisfied. But wait a minute, what happened when they got Daniel out and they threw the other ones in? All of a sudden they got hungry and they devoured them. You know why? You know why they were devoured when Daniel came out of that den of lions? The Lord's protection came out with him. Had a man to tell me one time, if you get in that pulpit this tomorrow night, I'm going to shoot you. I said, all right. I'll be at Calvary Baptist Church at 7 o'clock. I must confess, I did carry my big brother with me. I really did. I had my big brother with me. You say, who's your big brother? Smith and Wesson. I did have it with me. And I told the people, if you're going to scratch your head tonight, do it real slow. Amen. But you know why I went to that pulpit? The Lord's protection. I, by choice, one day, gave my coat up. I, by choice, one day, fell in an old-fashioned altar and said, Lord, here I am. Just do anything you want to do to me. I was amazed what he's done. Y'all listen to me tonight? Hey, sometimes if you're by choice, make up your mind. I was preaching down yonder close to Atlanta some time ago. I was playing golf with a little old fella that day. He didn't know what I was preaching that night, but he had a pair of blue jeans on with a ring in his back pocket. That little pinch between the cheek and the gum. We played about three holes, and I got up a stroke or two on him. He popped that thing out, and then he looked at me apologetically. And so I preached that night. I didn't preach on things. I didn't mention tobacco. I just preached. I'm subject to it if I know you do it. Amen. I gave the invitation that night. I was studying for this message. And I used the illustration about Joseph being stripped. That little old fella came to the altar that night. I didn't know what he came for. After the service was all over, he said to me, I'm off again tomorrow. If you like to play golf, I'd like to go again. I said, I'll be glad to go. So we went out on the golf course, and on the first hole, he reached in that back pocket, opened something up, and got it. He said, look, this ain't tobacco. He says, I got in the altar last night when you got talking about that stripping about choice. He said, I just gave it to the Lord. And I said, what did he say? He said, he didn't need it. He didn't use it. He said, throw it away. That's good, ain't it? He said, he didn't need it. Throw it away. It wasn't no good to anybody. And he said, I got me a little old substitute, a little old hard candy or stuff. He said, I might not play big golf today. I might get a little nervous. Without all that in the back, I said, son, you'll be all right. And I really had to pray to beat him that day. But any time you by choice make up your mind you're going to do something for God, he'll abundantly bless you right then. Thought about Jonah. Jonah was stripped. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. I used to think Jonah just didn't want to preach. Lord, I've been guilty of that before. I don't think there's a preacher in the building done any preaching that wanted not to preach sometime or another. You, like us evangelists, a lot of times preach all 7 days a week, almost 6 days a week, driving to the... You get tired sometimes. You want a day off. I said, well, Lord, I've done that. But I preached anyhow. But later on, I was doing a study on Jonah. I can't remember the author of the book that I read. But he said the reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, it was an 800-mile trip. He said in that trip was rugged terrain where they killed people, buried them alive, skinned them, done everything. That was one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But all I can say, whatever God asks us to do, whether it's going 800 rugged terrain through wicked sinners, God's protection will be there. Amen? I'm saying whether you lose by choice, you gain a crown. Joseph gained the Lord's protection. He protected him. down in the jailhouse. There are a lot of things I don't quite understand about this. It's been my wife. I'd have killed him. Amen. Somebody came up and said to me, "You tried to lie with your wife." I killed him. Yes, sir. I've been married to my little old girl 49 years. Next June will be 50. I still love her. And if I ever do bring her up here, if you don't hold your wife's coat for her to put it on, don't you grab my wife's coat. If you don't hold her car door open when she gets in, don't you grab my car door and hold it open for my wife for her to get in. I'll get highly mad. I'll climb up on your housetop and try to tear your shingles off. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you make up your mind to lay a coat down, God will give you protection. Notice something else here. I'm about through. If you'll give me a few more minutes, will you? Okay, thank you. Whatever crown did Joseph gain, he gained the Lord's provision. Turn over to chapter 41 with me. Look in verse 41. Notice what the Bible said in verse 41. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Wasn't that amazing? You remember? He said to Joseph, "Hey, your chef arose above all the other sheaves. Now God's put him over all the land of Egypt." And you know what happened? Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And Joseph interpreted. There's going to be 7 years of hard famine to come. First 7 years, there's going to be a bumper crop. There's going to be an abundance. But then there's going to be 7 years of hard famine. He told the king, he said, "You need an agricultural director." He said, "Well, you're it." "Should I set you over all the land of Egypt?" And notice what happened to him. Look down here in verse 42 of Genesis 41. "And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand." Now, that wasn't just an ordinary ring. That was the king's signet. That gave Joseph all the authority of kingship. That gave Joseph all the power in Egypt. Because that king took it off of his head. I don't know whether the king ever had another one or not. But all I know is he took it off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Hey, you know what happened there? He gained the crown. He got the royal seal. That's exactly what that was. A royal seal. But not only that, he got riches. In verse 42, notice, "And arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck." He got riches. I'm talking about because one day in the master's house, he decided by choice to leave a coat, and God gave him a crown. Then look in verse 43. You remember when the brethren came to get grain because of the famine? You know what happened? They bowed down to him. Notice in verse 43, "He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." I thought about that. They bowed the knee down to Joseph. You remember when his brethren came to buy grain, and finally he revealed himself to them? They had bowed down to worship him, paid obeisance to him. He fell on their neck and wept, and they wept with him. Oh, when he took them to the house, "You listen to me tonight? There's a blessing when you're by choice. Give up a coat for God. Instead of being stripped, saved. When I got saved, I was wicked in my heart. When I got saved, I'm telling you, I didn't even know John 3:16 was in the Bible. In fact, I didn't even know God had a John in the Bible. All I know, that night when the God spoke to my heart and convicted me, I didn't get saved that night. 3 months later, before I got saved, I'm the Holy Spirit convicted for 3 long months. And that Wednesday night when I bowed down to Him, Lord have mercy, God saved me. When I got home that night, I bowed down beside my bed. You got to understand that, where I was coming from. I bowed down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I'm trying to quit doing this. I was bad to supplement my income on the snooker table. And I said, I've tried to quit everything. Drinking, gambling, fighting. Always loved to fight. I really did. I loved it. I still would like to get in one every once in a while now. If it wasn't too old. I'm too old to fight now. I don't fight. I shoot. I bowed down that night by that bed. I said, Lord, you saved me tonight. I said, here I am. I'm not going to quit anything. Lord, I give myself to you. You just do anything you want to. My Lord, what a bargain I got. Oh, my. He took things away from me immediately. Because one night by choice, I gave my whole self to Him. I sometimes now want to ask Him, Lord, why don't you take my old temple back then, too? Still got a little bit of one. I said, I wish you'd taken it like you took cigarettes. Y'all listening? I'm going to tell you, anytime you buy a choice, say to the Lord, here I am, take me. Joseph surrendered to God. Here he was now over all the land of Egypt. He had the royal seal. He had the royal vesture, rich gold chain about his neck. Here now they bowed down to him. And then not only that, verse 43 said he got to ride in the second chariot. Amen. May I tell you tonight, you'll never ride in the first chariot. There's a generic brand of religion that'll tell you that when you die and go to heaven, you'll become a god. But may I tell you, you'll never ride in that first chariot. We'll always ride in that second chariot. But boy, I'm telling you, when you stop and think about, look what all has happened. And Joseph, when he was riding in that second chariot, maybe he remembered back in the days of the pit and the selling and the slavery. Maybe he reminisced and looked back and said, boy, all the problems, all the trials, riding in the second chariot is worth it all. You know what I'm trying to say to you and me tonight? Regardless what comes our way, by stripping or by choice, the ride will be worth it all. If we'll let Him have His way. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. I left a lot out, but it's all right. I didn't want to be long-winded like Brother Cottle. But listen to me tonight. I know there have been a lot of altar work, and thank God for it. A lot of people have come and bowed around this altar in prayer, seeking God's face. But tonight, maybe, there's something in your life that you need by choice to surrender to God. So you'll either by choice give it to him, or you'll be stripped of it. One day he's going to crown us and bring us to glory. Sometimes he has to crown and take you to glory. How many tonight would say to me, Preacher Pollard, there's areas in my life that need to be improved for God. I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. I'm not walking where I should for God. There's things in my life that ought to be shed, ought to be stripped out of by choice given. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you be honest tonight and slip up that hand? God bless you all over this auditorium tonight. God bless you. You can put them down. Let me ask you something. Had you rather for God to strip them of you? Or had you rather by choice give them to God and gain some crowns tonight? You say, Preacher, I'd rather by choice come and lay them at the altar. You that raised your hand, would you just come on? Just come on. That's right. Just come.